I'm here with Michael Badnarik. He's my boss, or used to be my boss, when he ran for president last year. I was the foreign news advisor or something like that for the Michael Badnarik campaign for president. You ran as a libertarian for president last year, Michael. Do you approve of American soldiers putting men in cages with lions until they admit where the weapons of mass destruction are?
Absolutely not.
Is that not okay?
Torture is inhumane, and that's what third world countries do. The United States is supposed to be better than that. We're supposed to have a rule of law. You're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. And to do the same barbaric acts that we are supposedly arresting Saddam Hussein for is not only hypocritical, it's just un-American.
It really does sound like the kind of thing that holy books are written about, doesn't it?
Yes.
Locking people in cages with lions.
Right.
Michael, assume that you were the president right now and this was your foreign policy circle. We're standing around talking. What kind of effects do you think that, what kind of long-term consequences could come from this kind of thing, invading a country and treating the people there this way?
Well, supposedly the Geneva Convention says that you have to treat prisoners with a certain amount of respect. And if the United States, you know, if there is evidence the United States is using this type of torture, then when our soldiers are captured in, you know, some sort of a conflict, we have no justification for assuming that our soldiers will be treated with anything other than torture. So, you know, we need to set a good example. You know, we need to avoid doing the same things that we are accusing, you know, tyrannical dictators of.
How does that make you feel when, you know, knowing that you lost the election last year to a guy, Dick Cheney, the president of the United States, who goes around when the Senate of the United States is trying to ban torture and say, listen, you can only interrogate them like it says in the manual. Dick Cheney is going to the Senate and saying, no, we can't have that. Don't pass that. We have to have the right to continue to torture people. How does that make you feel, Michael? No, you lost an election to a guy like that.
Well, it makes me very uncomfortable knowing that my country is doing these things in my name. You know, the government is supposed to represent the people of the United States. And, you know, if I have a butler and the butler does something, you know, that I've authorized him to do, then basically I'm responsible. We, the people, have authorized Congress to, you know, make our laws, and if they go off and they start doing things like torture, they are ultimately doing them at, you know, with our approval, especially if we don't stand up and criticize them for it. But as far as the presidential campaign, I ran for president because I couldn't vote for the Democrats or Republicans and respect myself in the morning. You know, that was why I left Texas and spent 2 years living out of a suitcase, you know, trying to, you know, let people know that there was another choice. But as you well know, being a legitimate candidate for a legitimate political party, I was not allowed to participate in the presidential debate. I mean, I don't expect, you know, everybody to vote for me. I didn't necessarily expect, you know, to win the election, but I do expect to be treated with fairness and to have my freedom of speech recognized. I mean, I personally have a right to have my political party's message heard. That's my job as their nominee. But more important than that, the people of the United States had their freedom of speech, you know, violated because they were expected to go to the polls and vote, and they were expected to vote without all of the information. You know, it's like trying to cross the Grand Canyon when the bridge doesn't go all the way across. I mean, how are you supposed to, you know, to make it to the other side?
Sure.
How are you supposed to make a reasonable decision if you don't have all the data?
And it's not like the Libertarian Party is the, you know, just formed I hate government party from Scott's living room. I mean, the Libertarian Party's been around for 30-something years. It's
yes.
on the ballot in every state. It has hundreds and hundreds of office holders, mostly low-level office holders, all across the country. You know, this isn't the Trotskyite party here.
That's right.
This is the gold standard property rights, gun ownership, peace and freedom and free markets party, and they're not welcome in the debate.
We have this crazy idea that the Constitution actually means something and that it puts limitations on the government. It doesn't give you your rights. You didn't have freedom of speech when they signed the First Amendment. You know, we didn't invent freedom of religion in 1791. We, the people, had the right to life. We had freedom of speech. We had freedom of religion. And we wrote the Bill of Rights and gave it to the government as further limitations on their power. And, you know, most people have forgotten that. None of your listeners have ever filled out a government form that allows them to exercise their religion. If I ask somebody for a church permit, they look at me like I've grown another head, like, where are you coming from? We don't need government permission in order to exercise a right. And then I point out that the Second Amendment works the same way. If you think a church permit is ridiculous and a non sequitur, then so is a concealed carry permit.
Or a permit to peaceably assemble.
Why do I need government permission to exercise my right to keep and bear arms? And the answer is I don't. 20,000 gun laws in the United States are unconstitutional.
All right, well, let's get back to the Constitution itself there for a minute. You know, Lysander Spooner wrote in 1867 that this Constitution has either created the mess that we're in or has been unable to prevent it. In either case, it is unfit to exist. And we see it only took another few years after that, and FDR said, hey, look, if you don't decide my way, Supreme Court, I'm going to increase your numbers to 19, and then you'll decide my way. And the Supreme Court said, okay, the Commerce Clause says that Congress can do anything they want. They can regulate anything they want, anybody they want. They can do anything they want. So was Spooner not proven correct that it's actually the Constitution's fault itself that we're in this mess?
Well,
I mean, we're at the end
of
the Republic now, and the Constitution's not helping us.
It's not the Constitution's fault. The Constitution is just a piece of paper. If you want to know how much protection the Constitution is going to give you, stand on a railroad track with a diesel locomotive coming, and you hold up that Constitution in front of you.
Now you're talking my language,
and
Ms. Bednarik.
That gives you some idea of how much protection it's going to give you.
Now, but wait, though, it is a very concrete thing when it comes to creating the presidency and creating the Congress and creating the courts and giving them the power to tax us and kill us and draft us and suspend our writ of habeas corpus and go around killing people. You're right that the restrictions are meaningless. But all the powers granted to the national government, and then some, are exercised fully every day.
Well, there were a lot of things there. And let me take them one at a time. First of all, we the people ordain and establish the Constitution. In 1789, we invented Congress. So the question then is, who works for whom? Do they work for us, or do we work for them? Well, 90% of the people who answer that question say, well, they're supposed to work for us. Why do they qualify their answer? Why do they say they're supposed to work for us? Because 90% of the people know they don't. 90% of the people in the United States know that Congress is out of control, that most of what our government does is unconstitutional. Are you okay with that? I think that is unconscionable and totally unacceptable.
But, Michael, you do recognize that a super-duper majority of the American people disagree with you. I mean, the fact is the Constitution, as you said, it does not protect you from
That's right.
the majority who sends their congressman to Congress to do whatever the hell it is their whim says.
Well, I speak to a lot of colleges, and colleges, by definition, tend to be a little bit liberal. I spoke to one college in Rhode Island, which was, you know, like way left. And one of the young ladies said, well, you know, don't you think guns are dangerous? And I said, well, if I thought guns are dangerous, I wouldn't have one. And she goes, well, but couldn't we vote to take your guns away? And I said, yes, in theory, you could all decide.
Just did in San Francisco 2 weeks ago.
You decide unanimously that Michael is an extremist, that I'm a little bit, you know, I make you nervous, and you can all vote to take my guns away. But then you're going to have to vote as to which one of you is going to come and take them. And that's not a vote that you want to win.
And it was
really interesting to watch this group of college students as they realized what I was saying. And one by one, their eyes all lit up, you know, and pretty soon I was looking at a classroom full of raccoons with their eyes wide open, you know, I'm not a violent, you know, man. I'm not a threat to anybody unless you're going to try to hurt me. And then I'm not going to just stand around and let you do that.
Right before I brought you on, I was talking about the unraveling. The tipping point has been reached, clearly, for this administration. The people of this country are sick and tired. The media is sick and tired of them. The story about Cheney and his neocon cabal that lied us into war for Israel is out in the open. And they're in deep trouble. Now, the question really is, can we carry that over to the state in general? Or are we going to suffer the same fate that we had when everybody disliked the government in the 90s, but by the end of the 90s, they had decided that it wasn't government that they disliked, it was Bill Clinton they disliked. And at this point, Michael, I'm very worried personally, and being frankly, you know, blunt and honest with you, I think this is the end of the republic, my friend. I think if the Constitution was good, it's gone now, and we're never getting it back, and we're facing total bankruptcy, if not annihilation and occupation at the hands of foreign powers, the way America is pushing its luck right now. And are we at a tipping point from that? Can we turn the empire around and, say, reduce our $2.5 trillion annual budget and have that limited republic? Or are we going to have to go ahead and collapse like all empires and start all over again?
Well, I agree with some of what you said. I agree that things are going to get worse before they get better. I think that the economy is going to be really lousy and that we are going to look back on the Great Depression with fondness, wishing that it could be only that bad. However, I sincerely believe that things are going to get better, that we are going to recover our republic, and that people are going to realize that, you know, the Democrats and Republicans are basically, you know, two heads of the same dragon. You know, they're both raising my taxes. They're both passing unconstitutional laws. They're both sending my sons and daughters into foreign wars that we really shouldn't be in. You know, there's a really great bumper sticker here in Austin that says FEMA, the new F word. People watched, you know, Hurricane Katrina was a tragedy. But the stuff that happened after Hurricane Katrina did not happen because of the hurricane. It happened because of the, you know, 35 to 50 years of complacency. You know, people automatically assuming that the government would be in charge. Don't worry, we don't have to worry about Katrina because we've got the Federal Emergency Management Association. The federal government is just going to make everything better. And they didn't make anything better. In fact, in many ways, they made it worse. Walmart, who everybody hates, had several trucks full of bottled water. They were going to be shipping in this water for all the victims. And FEMA turned the water away and said, no, we don't need it. We're talking about Louisiana. Louisiana's got thousands, if not, you know, hundreds of thousands of fishermen. And you had, you know, like 10,000, you know, fishermen with their bass boats ready to go in and rescue people. And the military said, no, you can't go in. That's a dangerous place. Well, yes, it's a dangerous place. There's a hurricane has gone through. You know, there are people out on their, you know, porches up to their knees in water. And they wouldn't allow, first of all, the federal government couldn't rescue everybody. And then they wouldn't allow other people to go in and rescue people. I mean, right. That is, it's unconscionable. And I think that Americans are beginning to realize that the federal government is not, you know, the good old Uncle Sam that's going to provide everything that you need. You're realizing that, you know, A, the government is corrupt. B, it's fairly ineffective. And you know, C, they're looking to do something else. You know, the private market would have been able to recover a lot better. So I see, I agree that the situation is grim. You know, and I agree that things are going to get a little bit worse before they get better. But I think that people in America are finally starting to wake up. The Supreme Court decision, Kelo versus New London, about eminent domain.
Yeah.
I mean, libertarians everywhere, I mean, we couldn't sleep at night realizing the Supreme Court has just said you do not own private property. The Supreme Court just agreed that the government can come in and take your home and give it to somebody else because they can make a bunch of money And there'll be taxes.
But what you're saying is it's not just us anymore. Now everybody's starting to pick up on this.
It's not just us. You know me, and you know that I have a reputation for being a constitutional scholar. I have had six people call. To me, they are anonymous calls. They go, "Hi, this is John Smith, and I'm calling to confirm that the government can't do that." They're not calling to ask me if this is unconstitutional. They've already decided on their own that this is unconstitutional, and they want me to confirm that.
Hey, I'm Scott Horton. I'm talking with Michael Badnart. Ran for president last year as a libertarian. We'll be right back.
Leave your guns at home, Bill. Don't take your guns to town.
All right, my friends, welcome back to the Weekend Interview Show. I'm Scott Horton, and I'm talking with Michael Badnarik. We'll be right back with him in just 1 second. I got to say, coming up next is the No State Project with Mark Stevens. After that, 1 hour from now, or, well, an hour and 6 minutes from now, will be the debut episode of Karen Katowski's first show here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I want to encourage everybody to tune into that and also check out her archives at lewrockwell.com, militaryweek.com, her three-article series for the American Conservative, and the new Pentagon Papers that she wrote for Salon.com. All of that excellent stuff. I also want to say real quick that I hate Sprint. And I would encourage anyone out there who is in the market for a cell phone to go to anyone but Sprint, because there is no lousier customer service on earth than at Sprint. Okay, doing my part for the free market there. And now, back wrapping up real quick here with last year's Libertarian candidate for President of the United States, Michael Badnarik. Michael, what are you up to nowadays?
I am running for Congress in Texas District 10. Which stretches between Austin and Houston. I am, collecting money. People want to contribute. My website is badnarik.org. That's BADNARIK.ORG. And if you like Ron Paul, you're going to really love me, because I'm advertising myself as a Ron Paul with attitude.
So you're not even going to vote for Social Security laws and stuff. You're going to even vote no on those, huh?
Absolutely. We're going to whittle the federal government back down to Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution and let you make your own decisions in life. We're going to let you spend your own money.
Wow, imagine that. So instead of taking the money right out of my check and spending it murdering innocent people in faraway lands, you're going to actually let me keep it and spend it on murdering whoever I like.
Well, I'm not going to allow you to murder people. You know, I don't believe in the initiation of force, but
right.
I will let you spend your money on whatever you want. And gosh, you know, if you're spending your money and everybody else is spending money, then we're going to have businesses springing up like dandelions, and we're going to have new goods and new services. Everybody's standard of living is going to go up. Oh, imagine how wonderful the United States could be if we get government the hell out of the way.
Michael, have you ever read 1984 by George Orwell?
Oh, a long time ago.
Well, there's a part in that book where he's reading Winston Smith, the protagonist, is reading the secret book that explains what's really going on that O'Brien gave him, the guy who's going to end up torturing him later.
Right.
And he says, look, the only reason we have all these wars is so we can take all your money and dump it in the ocean where you can't get to it. Because our biggest fear is that you will own your own wealth and improve yourself and end up catching us for the lying murderers that we are. So our entire purpose in keeping this state of perpetual warfare is just to take all your resources from you and dump them in the ocean where you can't get to it.
Well, I'm a strong Second Amendment supporter, and eventually, if we don't change things legislatively, things are going to get really interesting in this country.
Really interesting. And speaking of really interesting, I love this story. Patrick Fitzgerald has impaneled a new grand jury, and his investigation of Cheney and his group of ex-Trotskyite neocons who lied us into war is not over yet. Everybody can check antiwar.com and Raw Story for that today. Looks more and more like Stephen Hadley, the National Security Advisor of the United States, is a felon for leaking the name of the covert operative Valerie Plame to Bob Woodward. And word is that Rove's indictment is coming down soon. And the Inspector General at the Department of Defense finally, and I love this, at the behest of John Rockefeller IV, has finally opened an independent an Inspector General investigation into Doug Feith's office, the Office of Secretary of Defense for Policy, and how they lied us into war. So,
well, if people can't vote for the Democrats and they can't vote for the Republicans,
there's only one real party left.
Perhaps they will finally get a little bit smart and vote Libertarian.
What do they call that party again?
The Party of Liberty, the Party of Principle.
All right, everybody, check out badnart.org. He's running for Congress. It's a weekend interview show, weekendinterviewshow.com, antiwar.com, and we'll see you next week.